Hello, hi, and welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show and a midweek installment of Bullet Points. Now, before we get started, if you enjoy this podcast, whether it's the longer interviews or these snappier Bullet Points episodes, then please may I ask you to take a moment to leave a five-star review, share the link with a friend, or shout about it on whichever social media platform you enjoy the most. Thank you. As for today's episode, it's time to call out the gurus. And if you've been listening for a while, you'll know exactly what I mean.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So, the age of the guru. It's something I've talked about in these bullet points before. I've ranted is probably a better expression. But over the last few years, I've really found this to be something that gets my goat. It really, really annoys me. And I have more recently become really grumpy at the way in which we've elevated people of little or no substance to these really elevated positions of almost deity, just sort of thinking, oh, they're so perfect. Or they say the perfect thing. They make me feel a certain way. And every single day I am sent a pitch by a PR, and I'm very lucky to be on these mailing lists. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be ungrateful about that, but I am sent a pitch by a PR who is representing someone who wants to share their message or sets out to empower women. And when I investigate even a little, I find nothing. I find nothing of any substance. I find a few ideas repackaged, repurposed, and even more than that, almost useless to anyone who might actually need to turn their life around, who might be at rock bottom and can't see the wood for the trees. A lot of the advice that they're sharing is only really usable if you're already doing okay. And so I just don't want to be a conduit for any of these people or their superficial messaging. And when I say it's every day, I mean that it's every day. And I think I've said in the past that we have to choose our gurus wisely. I think there was even an episode called We Choose Your Gurus Wisely. But in the age of social media, there are wannabe gurus everywhere. And look, I will be honest, there was a moment a few years ago when I really did go from rock bottom to feeling like my old self again. And there were people who encouraged me, who saw the difference in my real life, in the media world that I'm in, who said, you know what, you should put together a course for people, you know, you can make an absolute fortune, or you should do a seminar or something, you know, like a live tour or just some events, you really could rake it in. But everyone's journey is different. And I feel as though so many of these self-appointed life coaches and any other number of meaningless titles just don't appreciate that. They don't know where you are to begin with, to be able to actually help you navigate whatever it is that you're going through and wherever it is that you want to get to. And this week, I have to admit, I really lost my temper. I properly just like stood up from the desk, kicked the chair back. I was like, I can't do this anymore. And it was because I received an email that read thus, and I won't say the name because that's not important, but so-and-so is a globally recognized expert in self-realization, a serial impact entrepreneur, investor, conscious DJ, and has created a modern manifesto for your journey through self-transformation. Well, if I haven't read, I mean, what a load of nonsense. What does that mean? So let's start with this. Globally recognized expert in self-realization. Globally recognized, never heard of them. Expert. Who's put together the, who says? Expert by whose authority? Self-realization. What even is that? Seriously, what even is self-realization? Define it for me. Show me the governing body and then explain to me how that person is an expert. Let's move on, shall we? A serial impact entrepreneur. What does that mean? What honestly does that mean? They time and time again impact. Time and time again, they are an entrepreneur with impact. Goodness me. I mean, entrepreneur is already quite a woolly word. And then we're adding impact to it to make it seem even woollier or even more impressive. Honestly, you can understand. I'm surprised I didn't throw my chair through the window. Investor, okay. Sure. Conscious DJ? Sorry, what? When was the last time you saw an unconscious DJ? And we've just had Coachella. So if you're going to see an unconscious DJ, that's where you're going to see them. Conscious DJ. Can somebody let me know what the hell that means? I genuinely, and why? What? Why would I think, oh my God, that's a, you're never going to guess who's over there. Can you imagine me at a party with Lindsay Kelt, Nadine Baggett, Caroline Hirons? You're never going to guess what, there is a conscious DJ in the room. It's never going to happen. What on earth does that mean? And then the whole creating a modern manifesto for your journey through self-transformation. Well, everybody's journey is different, so there shouldn't be a manifesto. Get out of my inbox. And when I say I lost my temper, I mean I screen grabbed it and I sent it to Lindsay Kelk and said, what the effery is this? Because I just really have reached my limit. Because I think I'll tell you why in a second. But when I say that I receive these emails daily from people who call themselves empowerment coaches, life coaches, or conscious DJs, and I get it daily. I really do get it daily. And it bothers me so much. And just this morning, I read an email about a manifestation coach. And the picture was of this very beautiful, well-dressed, well-presented woman who has trademarked a particular type of manifestation technique that she outlines in her latest book. So in this instance, the descriptor was, and I quote, mindset coach, entrepreneur, and six-figure business founder. And that's when I sort of, again, wanted to just kick my chair through something, because those three titles together, well, separately, they really don't mean anything. Mindset coach. Imagine you meet someone in a cafe or a restaurant, like, oh, what do you do for a living? Or you're sitting next to someone in a train. Oh, nice to meet you. What do you do for a living? I'm a mindset coach. Your first question is going to be, what does that mean? Entrepreneur, again, something in business, but you're not necessarily sure. Oh, I'm a six-figure business founder. Okay, so separately, they're still quite woolly. Put them together, it's what they imply. And that's what gets me going. Because I've got to the point where I actually feel insulted when people email me asking them to platform these sorts of people. Because I think, what am I putting out into the world for you to believe that I would do such a thing? Because you and I, that's you, my most excellent listeners, have an unspoken agreement that in exchange for your time, I'm not going to serve up some meaningless, nutritionally inadequate, nutritionally bereft nonsense, some guest who's going to give you nothing other than enough for you to think, oh, I might spend my money with them. I'm going to always strive to bring you someone or a topic that can add value, not a marketing spiel, not something that is just a veneer, something of actual substance and value. And I obviously don't send a reply saying, how dare you? Although genuinely, sometimes I want to. I usually try the much softer, oh, thank you so much for getting in touch and thinking of the show, but this isn't right for the podcast. But as I've said to you before, this is a trend, a movement that I've seen gathering pace, building steam. And podcasting has definitely been an engine. And mea culpa, in the early days, when this really started to happen, I definitely platformed people who were great, but I also did at some points. There were some people who I'd finish the call and think, I feel a bit grubby, I feel a bit dirty. But then perhaps sometimes people said, oh, I really enjoyed that one. So it's a difficult balance. But now I'm a little bit more rigid. I'm a little firmer about who I will and won't allow on the show. And the thing is, people who look good, who sound good, who have the gift of the gab, the popular guy or girl at school effect, you know, the person who effortlessly captures people's attention and admiration, they can very easily, via podcasts and video format and social media, they can elevate themselves and sell you something. They actually have no business selling you. And that's hope. Because they tell you that if you do this, something will happen. And it's really not like that. In fact, I almost threw up in my mouth earlier because I saw on social media, on TikTok, a four-year-old talking about manifesting, saying, because if you think it, and you think it a lot, it will happen. Okay, well, that's going to be some disappointment down the line, but that's not my business. I'm not the parent here. But anyway, I also happen to think there's something more sinister going on. I also think it's actually really disempowering to tell somebody how to live their lives. Sure, tell your story, but let people take from it what they need rather than selling them a prescriptive course or a subscription model whereby they have to follow your rules. And if they don't work for them, then they're the problem because the rules are just fine. That's what I find so insulting. Those, and I've seen it with friends as well, who've got very caught up in some good looking, beautiful or handsome influencer who lives what looks like a perfect life. They sell some sort of course and then it doesn't really work for them. And then when they question it, it's like, oh, the course is fine. It's that you're not doing it properly. And how disempowering is that? How awful is that? So empowering people, I think, is informing them, presenting them with some information and letting them find their own way. You don't need to join the dots up for them. But in this age of the guru, it's become a trend to follow and to just repeat and to parrot. And if you do that, then you're doing it right. And I hate to see it. But with all that said, these gurus who have painted themselves gold, if you will, albeit sort of metaphorically, and put themselves on these pedestals and have been put on pedestals by people around them are finally beginning to tarnish. And I like to see it. I love to see it, in fact. There was an incredible feature, not because I want anybody to be taken down individually. I mean, I'm talking about this as a trend. This is something that I've noticed happening. And there was an incredible feature in The Guardian recently by John McDermott, an incredible writer, actually, on Jay Shetty. I'm sure if you are listening to me, you might have already seen it. And it really did uncover how someone can spin a story to seem authentic, earn your trust, and then monetize that trust. So I have to admit, a few years ago, I started hearing about Jay and thinking, he's got this huge podcast and he's got this great big YouTube and he's friends with all these famous people. So I listened to one of his podcasts and I have to say, I am a skeptic anyway, because of my job, though, I hasten to add. And I think I must have got 20 minutes in and there were 3 ad breaks. And I thought, I don't know what I've really learned from this episode other than this man is making a ton of money. But Jay's story, if you're not, because podcast advertising revenue on a show as big as his, I mean, he will be making probably 6 figures per episode. But anyway, Jay's story, if you're not familiar with it, is that he is in a position to be able to dispense this advice on pretty much everything based on the knowledge that he gained while studying with monks in India. There was this whole story about how he was dragged along to a talk with a particular monk. He was so inspired that he dropped everything, left his life in the UK and went to India and studied with them. And then having lived like a monk, he came back and he started posting inspirational videos on YouTube. And he is now so entrenched in the world of the uber rich and famous that he actually officiated Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck's wedding when they got married. However, John's deep dive into his claims about the time he spent in India, how he became enthralled by the wisdom of the monks who changed his life, and even the timeline have come into question and actually been proven to be inconsistent at best and incorrect at worst. I think there's this course that you can do that costs around £7,000 or dollars. And on the website, at the time of the investigation, there were these affiliations with certain educational facilities and bodies in the UK, and they have all since had them taken off the website because I believe that they were not in any way associated. So there were some things that this really did expose. And it just goes to show that if someone is convincing enough and tells you that they spent all this time with monks watching, learning and observing, and they can tell the story in a way that sounds legitimate, then we've just fallen out of the sort of, we've atrophied that muscle of questioning it. Even if that person was actually in Watford at the time, if you're in the UK, you'll know why that is somewhat amusing. So the other thing to mention here is I think it's probably undeniable. I don't know what his net worth is, but I would imagine that he is a multimillionaire based on the dots that other people have joined together from the bits that he has told us about his life. And it's only now that people are asking questions, but it does take someone like John McDermott to be brave enough. And I think he is coming for some intense criticism to actually do the deep dive, to do the investigation. And then similarly, there was another piece recently in New York magazine about another hugely famous podcaster. So Dr. Andrew Huberman. Now, in Andrew's case, he is a PhD neuroscientist and a tenured professor at Stanford School of Medicine. But the piece really did question his credibility. And again, it's not about, I don't know what those claims, well, it paints a very specific picture, and I'll put the link to both of these articles in the show notes. But it really is this thing of, it's not about what that necessarily exposes. It's about the fact that until they were exposed, it's almost as if you want that person to be perfect. You want everything they say to be correct and accurate, because there's something comforting about trusting them. So again, I listened to one of Andrew's podcasts a while ago, and I couldn't keep up. It was about supplementation. I've made shows about supplementation. And I think this particular episode focused on NAD, NMN, those sorts of supplements, the sort of life-extending supplements. And I found it so bamboozling that I felt a bit cross, because we're supposed to be making these topics easier for people, not giving them such insane levels of detail that we actually make it even harder for them when they come to make those decisions about what supplementation they are going to take. And that, I think, is where it gets a bit sort of complicated for me. I think we should be making it, as I say, I think we should be making it easier so that when someone goes to the shop or goes online to buy that supplement, they know exactly what they need. But that doesn't seem to be the case. So all of this is to say that while my inbox right now might be pinging every day with the, honestly, some of the people, the descriptions are really laughable, but these people who want to turn your life around and potentially profit from doing so, I'm wondering whether, even though my inbox might be busy now, I'm wondering whether, based on the felling of these two literal redwood gurus, if the tide is beginning to turn. And if it is, I am pleased, because I don't think we should be elevating people who are not legitimate. And I think we need to go back to the age of the expert. I think, let me ask what you, come in the Facebook group or wherever it is, whichever social media platform that you love, or email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com and let me know what you think. Because have you ever fallen for a guru? Have you fallen under someone's spell and spent your hard-earned money on them only for a little while later to feel a bit silly? Have you got really caught up in somebody and also wanted them to be perfect? I mean, I know it's a slightly different example, but I used to think Ellen was so funny. So funny. I used to really love watching clips of Ellen. I used to love watching The Ellen Show. I used to think her interviews were great. And then as soon as somebody put a different lens on it, I was like, oh, okay. And I remember years ago, my friend Amy saying, oh, careful about Ellen. I don't think she's as nice as you think she is. And I was like, no. I didn't want to know it. And that's the thing. It's almost this almost willingness to be blinkered, because you want somebody to be, you cut them through the middle and they're pure and lovely and they're exactly what you want them to be. So is the skill that they have, is it telling people what they want to hear? And how do we go back to legitimate experts and cull this trend for people promising to change, transform and improve your life, work, relationships, etc., when all they are offering, when you really break it down, are these sound bites and repackaged tropes? If you were to take, I mean, I haven't done this deep dive, but I'm sure if somebody did, like John McDermott, if somebody did a deep dive into what you actually pay for when you pay for one of these gurus' life courses or whatever courses they are, I'm sure if you actually just sort of boiled them down to the nuggets, they'd all be really similar. It's just about, it's almost like different handbag brands or different car brands. Is it a Ferrari, or do you want to drive a Ferrari, or do you want to drive a Range Rover, or do you want to drive whatever it is? It's like, oh, I kind of like Jay's story, so I'm going to buy into the way he's packaged self-improvement, or I really like to align with a tenured professor, so I'm going to buy into everything that Andrew Huberman says and any number of other huge people. I'm only pulling out those two examples because they have been in the press in a very, very big way recently. But let me know what you think. I'd be so fascinated. I will ask this again in the Facebook group when the show goes live, and there are many, many ways in which you can get in touch with me. I had a wonderful email from a listener, Yasmin, who said, actually, I don't use Facebook. So let me know your preferred way to build a community or to have a community conversation. I've used Facebook because I thought that that might be the easiest way. But if there are other ways, let me know what you prefer. But thank you for indulging me in that rant. I am really clinging on to this idea that we are moving away from this trend, but my inbox at the moment is saying we're not. But I'm hoping that these features are a signpost to this becoming something that we'll look back on and laugh at, and not and is something that's not going to continue. So there we go. That's everything for bullet points this week. How impassioned was that? Oh gosh, I sound like Ina Garten there, the barefoot contessa. How good can that be? How bad can cheese be? Anyway, thank you for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, please do share it far and wide, and please do consider leaving a 5-star review. I will see you on the next one.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.